With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
510 DGS. Go to 971talk.com/DGSLive to get your tickets for the next live show. Selling really, really well. Really happy with it. But we have a much bigger venue to sell this time at the Sheldon. I may never go anywhere else again. If we can get a good crowd at the Sheldon, I may just be in house residency because it's beautiful. It's just great.
I told you.
Tim, have you ever performed there?
I did a few minutes on the Camo X Christmas show. I did a little stand-up, and it was so fun. And I'd never even sat in that room before. I completely agree. It's awesome, and it's going to be great for that event, too.
I had an idea for you and me.
Okay.
At this show.
Okay.
And I ran it by Nick, and he goes, I'm your son, and if you did that, I'd have a hard time talking to you later. So,
wow.
Do we get to hear it?
Sure. You want me to tell you?
If you're okay with it.
So,
what are the chances of this still happening?
Yeah, I would say keep it a secret if you want it to still happen and tell him on the break.
But then he doesn't have a son.
Oh, well. He'll stick around.
Because he would have been.
Where's he going to go?
He would have been embarrassed.
Yes.
If you.
Yes.
I don't mind telling it. It's your
All
call.
Right. I don't mind telling
right.
it.
Fine.
Let's have
no,
it.
It's not
if,
like,
if there's a chance that we can talk you into it, then let's not discuss it.
How about we give a hint, Dave?
I want to hear it.
I do, too.
Well, it's not such an earth-shattering thing.
But
that,
it
like,
would be really funny if it was a surprise.
It would.
So.
Yeah.
He's not good at surprises.
Now every Tim Conby segment is a tease of something we don't actually talk about.
I
got all
you.
These angry tweets last week.
Yeah.
Okay, I can wait one segment.
All
so
right.
I'll tell you guys in the break. I've told you.
I know. That's why I'm like, let's. We can give
it's
a
alive.
Hint. I think we should do it. I think it'd be funny. I think the audience would love it.
Okay. All right. We'll hold it up then. Right. So several stories here that all kind of come together for me. Terry Gilliam, who's part of Monty Python, just wrote a really long article, and he just encapsulates where he says, we can't laugh at anyone anymore because it causes offense. Mm-hmm. And that's humor. That it doesn't have to be mean, but humor is always at someone or something's expense. That's what humor is framing something and then giving a surprise like, oh, I didn't see that's where you're going. Great. And I think it's so sad. And I don't agree with the slippery slope argument. I think we've always known where the line is. We've known when people crossed it. Sure, social norms can change, but it just makes me sad. And then this is pissing me off. Thank God for Gordon Ramsay, because this happened to him and he's losing his mind over it. But this is a different story. A white restaurateur advertised, quote unquote, clean Chinese food. Chinese Americans had something to say about it. So this woman's white, her husband's white. His name is Lee. They opened Lucky Lee's Chinese food, and they're both very, very healthy. And look, if I say, Tim, let's get dinner tonight, and you're on a huge diet, and I say, let's go get Chinese, you're typically going to go, because when you think of Chinese, you think of goopy, sugary.
Salt.
Yeah. It's amazing,
yeah.
But it's not the most healthy thing in the world.
Right.
Now, there's not one Chinese restaurant. They're not all the same.
Right.
But I think it's dumb to act like that we don't have that perception.
Right.
So this lady is doing Chinese food, but everything's very, very clean. Lots of vegetarian, lots of vegan, and people were crushing her on social media. One, because she's white, and I guess you can no longer open a Chinese restaurant if you're white. And her playing off Lee, because it's a very common Chinese name, and then saying it's clean to suggest that traditional Chinese food is not clean. This makes me want to bite someone's face.
No kidding. I read this. It's bad. The clean thing in particular, anybody, that's a very trendy word right now. It does not mean lacking in filth. It means something completely different, but everybody wanted to jump on and say,
right.
Oh, you're saying that all Chinese restaurants are dirty. It's silly. I don't know. The lines are getting made up every day and you don't know when and how you might cross
them. Gordon Ramsay, a food critic, slammed him for having an inauthentic Asian eating house. And of course, he's handling it like you'd think Gordon Ramsay would.
Good.
But that's good. I think it's sort of like why people voted for Trump. Like, we need people like Gordon Ramsay, who's not afraid to, I'm sure using many F words, say, no, you're full of crap.
Yeah.
This is not the way it should be.
I want to challenge your assertion that not all Chinese restaurants are the same.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because if you go to most Chinese restaurants, you know exactly what those dishes are going to be.
That's a fair point.
Which is amazing.
It's a fair point. It's really, yeah, that's why when you say, like, what are you in the mood for? Mexican, Chinese, it's not racist. We have just been trained what those things mean.
Right.
And there are better Chinese restaurants.
It's not even about the nationality. It's about the cuisine.
Yeah.
So it's about what you've come to expect. It's not you're saying something about a group of people. It's what you're used to when you go to that type of restaurant.
It's like fast food.
It's like going to fast casual. Exactly. You know what the experience is going to be like. You know what fast food is going to be like. You know what fine dining, for the most part, is going to be like.
There's this guy, Rach, I'm sure you've seen it on our Chef's Table show, Aaron Orkin.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish guy that
the ramen guy,
yes,
yeah,
was obsessed with ramen, and he's a Jewish guy from New York who had learning disabilities and had failed at everything he ever tried, and he moved to Japan and he loved it and he started cooking ramen and he's a savant, and now he has one of the most successful ramen restaurants in the world, and he's Jewish. It's like, shut up,
right? Mm-hmm.
Now, it's impressive, it's different, it's weird. It'd be like someone from Japan moving to Israel and becoming the best Jewish food chef, but it happens.
Right. Mm-hmm. There were two white girls who opened up a taco truck. And
I remember that.
They got in all kinds of trouble.
That's hammered so
for
dumb.
It.
And what? Yeah. It's so dumb because what happened? Because the people, typically, the people that will tell you that that is somehow offensive and you're breaking some rules and you're being culturally, you're appropriating somebody's culture, are the same people that would say, don't tell me I can't do a job that's traditionally by somebody else just because I'm a woman or just because I'm whatever color or just because I have whatever sexual background. Anybody can do anything, and that's what true liberty looks like.
And when we talk...
Except a white person open up a Mexican food truck.
Right.
That's where we draw the line.
And what's crazy it's about crap. That stuff, when we say that, this guy can't do this guy can't do that, the message there is that everybody should stay in their lanes, which is the opposite of sort of diversity and we're all one, and then it comes down to it, we all have so much in common, but those types of things say, stay in your lane, you're this, and you should do this.
Yep. 100%.
That's why I say we all know where the line is. If you went to, for example, if I went to a Chinese restaurant run by white people who are dressed like traditional Chinese garb and going over the top of the whole Chinese thing, I'd be
different
like,
story.
Dude. Mm-hmm.
That's a different story.
But you do see that. If you go to a Chinese restaurant, a lot of times it's Korean or Thai folks running them. And they don't get any pushback.
Yeah. Yeah. We are Vietnamese place.
Yeah.
And they're Korean.
Oh, I thought they were Vietnamese. No, I just assumed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they said the other day, like, no, we're Korean.
I guess I'm the real racist.
Now they do. Everything's like Pan-Asian now, so they can kind of encompass it and all. Yeah. No, you're right. And if it has like the, you know, puns on Chinese stuff, like you can't do that. But never mind.
Well, I mean, this is why
just
things like this make it worse. Because it obliterates lines. We used to have lines, and 99% of us would agree on where the line was. And I'm not saying that lines don't move. They do. But they've moved within my career, and I acknowledge that and accept them. And so I'm like, oh, my God, of course that line should have moved. But in general, there are no longer lines. Because
That's the thing. That's the crap, is that we can put lines on some things, but you're not allowed to have lines on other things. Either everybody could do anything.
Chelsea Handler, who I can't stand.
Or everybody has to stay in their lane. It's one or the other.
Just did a big article on how leave Joe Biden alone because this is a disservice to real abuse victims. And I couldn't agree with her more. That conflating Joe Biden and his weird physical space hair smelling is not the same thing as someone being assaulted. And if you don't believe me, ask someone who's been assaulted.
Sure.
That doesn't mean that it's okay
to make a 15-year-old girl uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But it also isn't the same thing.
No. It's not.
I just think we overcomplicate everything. That's what we do as humans. But it just feels very simple. Be respectful And as long as you're coming from a place of respect, even if there is some sort of faux pas that you don't realize you're doing, then that group that feels disrespected can come to you respectfully and tell, like, let's just Crane Durham this whole thing with respect, people. You don't have to turn it into some sort of personal affront every time something hits you the wrong way. And then the people who aren't trying to offend others are going to be more open to this criticism. Because now I see when people are criticized, they're just like, well, what is the line? What, you react with this defensiveness because you feel as though you need to be defensive, and you probably do.
Yeah, well, there's a panic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it used to be...
Because you don't know what's going on.
Well, and
there's
also
no real dialogue.
It used to be like, oh, did you hear Convy said this thing on Y98. Ooh, that seems edgy. Now it's, did you hear Convy got fired?
Yeah.
Right.
So now everyone's just panicked.
Or the clickbait is like, racist Tim Convy just completely disrespects blah. The whole story's in the headline without giving out
and
any
the
facts.
The worst part, it's 95% entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean entertainment like, I need clicks. Entertainment like, this is going to give me some sort of charge.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to get in the headlines.
For 30 seconds. And then I'm going to go on with my life. But this guy's life is in rubble.
Yep.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
528 DGS. We have the Ziggins crew in with Zimmerman and Wiggins, and we have Tim Convy here. So you didn't like my idea.
I didn't dislike it. I just
it question leans, your ability to pull it off.
Yeah, it leans quite a bit on my musical ability, which I don't, in that format, don't have a lot of faith in.
So I've heard you talk about this several times.
I know, people think I'm being humble.
No.
I'm not.
No. No, but I understand it, but I understand why people also get it confused, because you play keyboards in a band.
Correct.
So I think a lot of people think that means you can play piano.
Just, right.
Like, sit down and play piano, and it's not... It's different, right?
Yes. Anyone who's ever like had piano lessons or like, oh yeah, I grew up playing piano, they are better than me at that thing, right? So I specifically played an instrument called a Moog synthesizer. It's monophonic. That means you can only hold down one note at a time. You play a part with one hand and you manipulate the sound with the other hand. So I had another keyboard and I would do like organ pads or simple piano parts, and I can do it, but me holding down playing a ballad is a bad idea.
Yeah. The idea had to do with pianos, by the way.
You do a lot of things that make girls like you. What's it like to have girls like you?
Look at that face. Are you kidding me?
You That's obviously, all you, need. Yeah. You obviously have never actually listened to my band, because our goal, you did listen, was not to make girls like us. You might have heard where I said Moog synthesizer. No one's really.
That's
girls
true.
Are getting particularly
I'm just
excited.
Thinking of bands and heard that. Stage stuff.
Yeah.
Do girls like you guys for being on stage, Dave?
Mm. Oh, God.
Beat him off of the stick.
Lousy with him. Yeah.
It's embarrassing. It's like, ladies, get yourself together.
Speaking of beautiful faces, jeez. Come on.
Did you see the story? Did you guys talk about this on 98? Man sues his parents for $86,000 for throwing away his massive porn collection.
No.
You didn't see that?
No.
I saw that story.
That's quite a price tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must
So he... So he's saying that was the value of the collection?
He's a grown man. His name's Charlie. He got divorced. He moved back in with his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was out, they found 12 giant boxes full of movies and 2 boxes of adult toys. And they got rid of it. And his dad sent him an email and said, "For your own mental and emotional health, I would have done the same thing if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine."
Dang.
Turns out he's had a history of this in both high school and college. He was reprimanded for selling porn to other students. What he's saying, now this is like a law school exam question.
Yeah.
Straight up, this is the kind of thing we'd have.
Yeah.
It's always something that's funny little twist, but that's his stuff. Right.
Well, the father also said, I warned you at the time, whenever he was selling porn in school, I guess, if I ever found pornography in my house again, I would destroy it. So he laid out the ground rules 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, would it matter if this guy was paying rent to his parents?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
It would.
I don't see in the story that he was.
Although, going back to law school, I don't think you have the right to do that. If someone's personal property is, not to get in the weeds, but if you
You
are,
have to, though,
if,
in this.
Like, if you're staying with me thing. And you're my guest, yeah. I don't have the right to throw your stuff away.
Do I have, does the owner of a, since it's their house and they own it, do they have the right to say what can and can't be in or on their property?
Yes, but that's like a family issue.
But since you've invited them in.
Like from a legal standpoint, it's one thing for the dad to say, son, I can't condone this. You need to move or get rid of this stuff.
Right.
That's totally kosher family-wise. But now he's just a tenant who's staying for free. And so if I let Tim move in with me and I charge him $500 a month, I can't just grab his stuff and throw it away. So
I wonder where that price tag comes from.
It's actually triple the price of what the porn collection was worth. The porn collection was worth $29,000, and he's suing for
emotional damages.
Whose number? Yeah, there you go. Whose numbers are these?
It's his. It's his number, and he's suing for triple the price. He's claiming that a lot of the films are out of print. I love this quote from his dad in the email he sent. We counted 12 moving boxes full of pornography, plus two boxes of sex toys, as you call them. We began that day the process of destroying them, and it took quite a while to do so.
Wow.
Doesn't this feel a little bit like when the Me Too movement was at its peak, and you had porn stars coming out and saying, yeah, I was a part of something too. You're like, are you really going to get anywhere with this?
However, if you know your dad feels that way, you know your parents feel that way, and you're moving back in with them, and you've already been warned, hey, if I find this stuff, what?
No, I get it.
Don't put it
from
in their house.
From a family standpoint, I'm 100% with
you. No, I know, and I get the, but I even if he's legally in the right, why even risk having that issue?
And why look? I mean, really, dude? You're 40, you're divorced, you're living with your parents, and you're complaining that they destroyed your porn collection.
And you're going to sue them?
Yeah, it might be time to do a little self-reflection.
Well, something tells me he's not the most self-reflective guy.
No, yeah, doesn't sound like it.
Self-something else.
Dude. Yeah.
If he also apparently has a $30,000 porn collection.
Also apparently has no understanding of the internet.
Right?
Tony, he was a collector. Come on, it was classy.
Oh.
These are no longer in print. Remember.
Yes.
Ryan, I can't believe that with the internet. Really?
Ryan, flesh your point out for me again about the porn stars. Are you saying that a porn star can't be molested?
No, I'm just saying when the Me Too movement was happening, there were real issues coming out in Hollywood of people saying they abused power, they forced me into sexual situations. And then you had porn stars kind of piggybacking on that and saying, yeah, I was in a shoot once and somebody kind of abused me. And I just thought, I don't know if there's truth in this or not, but I don't think you're going to get anywhere with it just because of the industry that you're in. Even if you're trying to be a part of the Me Too movement, which is at its peak, I just don't think you're going to get anywhere with it being a porn star.
I get what you're saying because the porn industry is not regulated at all.
Yeah, right.
It would be really hard to prove abuse other than just personal testimony because, no one's watching over them.
Especially
really,
while the
really
cameras
sad.
Are rolling.
Exactly.
Which is why I bet there's rampant abuse.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because the cameras are rolling and the other people involved just have to say, look, this was the scene. This is what we were doing.
Right.
Knowing the amount of drug usage in the porn world, it's got to be worse than the regular world.
I would also put that in sort of like the conversation that we were having earlier about Joe Biden and Me Too victims of much severe, like it's not an apples to apples comparison. Like if that's happening, and it might be, that's an issue that needs to be dealt with, but it's just not in the same discussion as Harvey Weinstein, molesting people it's just a different discussion. It can still be wrong, but it's just a different discussion.
I get what you're saying. It's a different thing because sex isn't inherently a part of those Harvey Weinstein situations, whereas with pornography, it's the end goal.
It's just a different situation.
It's just a lot cloudier, and it's really hard to regulate, and speaking they have no desire to really regulate it.
Speaking of drug use, I'm feeling pretty good. At the beginning of the show, I was trying to eat a Smart Mouth Mint, and it turned out to be a trazodone. So just got to be careful about that.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, he took a
On two levels. I didn't know Smart Mouth made mints, and I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, or trazodone.
Oh, you can get some in the office. Break.
Trazodone is like a...
sleeping pill.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, right at the beginning of the show, first segment.
Donna,
you've made it this far.
I know, it's a miracle.
And your breath isn't bad, so maybe it kind of...
Don on Twitter has an excellent point. So he has He has money to file a lawsuit, but not for his own house.
That's
good
true.
Good point. Yeah.
My first summer in New York, I was just interning. I was just there for the summer, and I stayed with this guy I knew in college who was a few years older, and he had a massive, I don't know if we're talking $86,000, but a massive collection. At one point during the summer, he and his roommate moved, and I moved with them. And he was like, he had this girlfriend now. He's like, nope, I'm leaving it. I'm like, oh, wow, I know that's really going to be hard for you. It was a lot of stuff. And so we moved. They moved my stuff. I was at work. And I get back and I'm unpacking my things, and he had just jammed all of it into all of my stuff so that it
so no one would know.
Yeah.
Oh my
god! So that his girlfriend wouldn't find it, and I would get caught.
Jeez. Awesome. Yeah. What do you think of this? Couple shamed for pathetic wedding catering.
Photos. Oh stop! Photos. This is gonna make me mad.
Man, photos of a couple's wedding day catering been getting ridiculed online. They had hundreds of slices of plastic cheese in a tray, along with a cup of vegetables and fruit, some of which still had stickers in the skin.
That's kind of funny.
That is kind of funny.
Seems like Hoosier.
I just think that's funny.
Plastic cheese, like not edible?
No, like
no, like singles wrapped, that you unwrap.
The picture's
that's
pretty
hilarious.
Amazing.
Like a picture like fake vegetables but cheese.
Like they were going for a viral situation.
Yes.
Like they had like it was a fire festival theme.
Or they were cheap.
You can buy singles.
Then you just don't have food.
Yeah. Mm. I've been to weddings without food before. And that's the choice, you know. They don't have to throw a party for you. It's the nice thing to do, but even the fact that they had some sort of snacks for him, I say, just come on.
Anyone here have any real phobias? Anything that you'd say like, yes, this is debilitating?
Claustrophobia.
It's diagnosable.
We've been through that. I cannot handle being in tight spots. It is a total freak out.
This one makes me furious.
What did I say? I'm going to kill everybody,
kill
right?
Everybody.
There's an actual phobia called consecutaliaphobia,
okay,
which is the fear of chopsticks. Now, here's the thing.
What?
If you got this, F off. I mean, just straight
wow,
up.
Really glad I didn't reveal my phobia.
Donating $1 to that charity.
Nope. Yeah. No.
That helps people that have a debilitating
How
fear
How do
of
you live?
That F is for fork, too. Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes shy of 6 p.m. Get your DGS Live tickets at 971talk.com/DGSLive. VIP are gone, so it's all general admission. And I believe, Rach, it's general admission. Right? Like you get there and you sit down.
You find a spot. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a cliche, but it's true. Yeah. If you're in the back row in the corner,
there's not
you're
a bad
fine.
Seat. And there's not there's not a bad seat in that room. It's amazing that there's almost 800 seats because
it does not look like
it.
What?
Does not look like it.
No.
It does not feel
is it really
like
that
it.
Many?
Doesn't it look like it's like 300?
Yeah.
Yeah, but is the theater nice?
It's 700. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Oh, okay.
What did you say? What is it?
He's like, but is it nice? I hear it's acoustically perfect.
It's acoustically perfect. But yeah, it does not. It's shocking that there's that many seats in there because it has a very small room feel, and you feel like you're right on top of the stage, even if you're in the back row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt and Nick last night.
Oh, yeah.
Nick has a true talent at baking cookies. I think he just doubles the butter, but I could be wrong. And he was going to make cookies yesterday, and he's got this whole thing, and it's all laid out, and he had it all together. And he buys the chocolate morsels that are bigger. You with me? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not, okay? And somebody, it could have been me, opened them up and took a handful.
Yeah, I wonder who it was.
And he wasn't mean. He was just like, well, it's out. It throws everything off. And someone...
Oh, he had the right exact amount?
I think it was Phoebe, but now that I'm thinking, it was probably me. Had a mouthful of them and was like... And I was just like, what a puss. Just make them. But it sounded like not what a puss, because I had chocolate
just
in my mouth.
Just make less.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it'll make throw everything off.
And he wouldn't do it?
Oh, no, he has integrity.
Wow.
Didn't you say that Nick wants to come in to the show soon?
I don't know.
He should come and bring cookies. That is my plea.
Yes.
Anybody who ever comes in should bring cookies.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Talked about you yesterday. Somebody in my family, and this is not David, I'm not doing what you just did, like, might have been me. I really can't remember.
Could have been James.
It might have been Grace. It might have been my wife. I can't remember. Somebody said, though, this summer that they wanted to learn how to and bake some bread. And I said, Dave Glover.
Mm.
Bakes bread.
I do.
He might be able to give you some tips. It's really, really good.
I'm a Renaissance man, kind of thing.
Yeah, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long have you been baking bread?
Hasn't baked it since I've been on the show.
I don't know. Years.
You really? Know this.
You never. He's. I've he never has not had brought the glove it in bread. Since you've. Wow.
I believe like, so.
Yeah. That's. See. There you go. That's one of those. Your own impression of how time passes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you brought that bread in like about a year ago.
Yeah, me too.
What kind, Dave?
Marble rye.
What do you want?
Really? All kinds?
Pumpernickel.
Yeah.
What's your specialty?
Bunny.
He was like, I baked this and I sliced it and I put it in this nice plastic sleeve.
You make the sleeve too? That's amazing.
Tie.
You're not going to believe how exact it tastes. No, I love stuff like that.
It was really good.
Yeah, I think we talked about this once, and we were both like, because I bake bread as well, and we were like, we're both baking bread tonight and bringing it in, and that did not happen.
Neither of us did.
No.
You guys should do that.
Do you guys have fun with it? Do you like wear a dress shirt and like slide around in your underwear and play Tom Cruise music?
Wiggins, no.
What the hell?
Tom Cruise
where
music.
Where are you baking?
By Tom Cruise music, Tom you mean Cruise Bob Seger music.
That's what I meant. Sounds fun.
He's breaking bread.
You know what? So evidently... Every now and then.
The 5 o'clock hour is not his hour.
He's just.
Yeah, has it been better?
Going to say something stupid.
It was all right. It was.
No, during the first hour, he made us laugh because he was cracking himself up. Like legit giggling at everything
his
he
move,
said.
His move. He's got the Jimmy Fallon Saturday Night Live move.
Oh, yeah.
Which like, I hate. Which I hate.
When he starts laughing,
I hate
you
myself.
Start laughing because he's laughing.
Yes.
Even though the joke that he just told wasn't
we're
ever...
We're just laughing because we're happy that Ryan's having a good time.
That's not true. The jokes that I tell are awesome.
We have fun, right? No way.
You got to go for it. I respect it.
Would you do stand-up?
I've written stand-up. I haven't really performed much.
Oh, come on.
You got to come open
you've
for 10.
You've got stuff you've written? Just get up and do it.
Well, I've written for other people who are legitimately doing it. So I didn't want to like...
Maybe you've heard of Kevin Hart.
Like local guys?
Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, how cool. Did that come about?
Just weird.
He's been in the biz a while, Tim.
Yeah, he's solid. He's got some stories.
He really does.
All right. Tell me about what was it, Soundstate? What was it called?
Oh, the show that I did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of stage work with that. It wasn't stand up, but it was all live to tape. And there was a lot of improv because you got to keep the audience into it when the cameras aren't rolling, man. You got to really work the crowd.
How did you meet Victoria Jackson?
She was part of a show that we were doing. She was on it. She was one of the cast members of a pilot.
Are you sure it's not Victoria Babu?
They look similar.
I have written jokes for Victoria Babu. you should do it if you've written stand-up before. I mean, even take those... Jackson's not using those anymore. Just, you should do it.
Yeah, it's true. I've written a lot more than I've sold. So, I have plenty of material.
You, like, wrote dumb blonde jokes? Because wasn't that her whole thing? Like, I'm a dumb blonde?
No, that's exactly what I did. Wrote dumb blonde jokes.
I wouldn't use that.
Yeah, give us
anything.
Oh,
man, if I had my laptop... I don't you're putting me on the spot and I don't remember them. One of them was all... I can tell you this. One of them was all about peanuts. Like, it was all about Snoopy peanuts, not peanuts. And they were, it was like, she had
the Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown cartoon.
Yeah.
It's just not what I expected.
No, me neither. My head is starting to hurt.
You're an enigma wrapped in a riddle, Wiggins.
But she, here's what's funny about that story. It was like this full thing about Peanuts and her having cancer. Okay.
Oh,
I know. So,
Dave, bite his face because we're dreaming, okay?
But she didn't.
This isn't real.
I presented it to her and she didn't know what it was. She didn't know what Snoopy was. And I'm like, you don't know like the cultural references of Snoopy and Charlie Brown? And she was like, no, I don't get these. Like, she's legitimately that character that you know that she is.
How did you tie Peanuts into her cancer?
Yeah.
So she was bald. And so I started doing Charlie Brown jokes and how she was, instead of a hospital gown, she was wearing like the striped shirt and like all the things she was doing in the hospital were just Peanuts references.
It's weird that she didn't have some kind of career resurgence. That sounds like.
I know. I mean, that would have done it, but like she didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Oh, right. Her detriment. She didn't.
Yeah, that's on Victoria.
She missed out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this. Have you written any non-cancer comedy or is that kind of your genre?
Yeah, I mean, being a person who's never had cancer, it's weird that all of my jokes are cancer.
He did this thing with AIDS and Garfield that was pretty strong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mark Trail cancer jokes are really good.
Well,
I love Mark Trail.
You should get up and try some stuff.
Or not. Okay. Either way.
Yeah.
Does it really matter?
No, not so much.
I mean, you just heard the whole bit. It doesn't get better.
You're a surprising man. I gotta say. That was not what I expected.
Don't you guys think Victoria Jackson heard the pitch and was like, oh yeah, I don't really know what Snoopy is, so I guess it's better if we just leave this one out.
100%.
I would say yes, except that there were a lot of those moments.
That's funny.
I was like, you don't know what that is? No. But then I'd play, like, I also was in a band, so here goes more. I was in a band that did like a bunch of versions of songs, and one of the versions we did was like a 1920s song, like an old sounding like phonograph song. And she heard that when we were doing something. She goes, oh, I know what that song is. And she we sampled a real song.
She knew
the 1920s flapper song.
What did you do in the band?
Sang.
Really?
Yeah.
All cancer songs? Or?
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the...
The joke was that every song...
How did you rhyme blastoma?
What's that? Blastoma? With blastocyst. We did a lot of IVF jokes, too.
All right.
Every song was a different genre. That was the joke of the band.
Any band?
Oh yeah, hey, we're over.
I'm giving him the rest.
Sorry,
of like five times.
Here comes music.
Can you get Bo Matthews on?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.